When did you get in town?
Friday.
Uh-huh. Where do you stay when you're in New York?
Berkshire Hotel.
Oh.
Just a walk.
Yeah. Slimming. I have a very casual little broadcast, or at least I can talk to you casually because I take the tape and I edit the material and I make it to a small news broadcast which is heard in New York and Los Angeles and a couple other cities on a syndicated basis. And so that's why we can be casual and not have to crimp, prime, and this sort of thing. I'd like to find out a little bit about yourself. You were born where?
In England, in the countryside in England, in Kent, and had a poor schooling. Left school at 15. You're a bit closer, eh?
I'm sorry. You were born in Kent?
Yes. In the countryside, went to a country school, did hopeless at school, left school at 15. Went into the Royal Navy, did electronics and things like that, and got cheesed off with that, and then became a painter.
Did you have a mint as an artist, as a young, as a kid?
I think I was a romantic child, and in the 50s, art was out, science was in, so I did things like make television sets when I was 12, and send rockets up, and make bad smells in the kitchen, and take the car to pieces and things like that.
Mm-hmm. What happened when you got out of the Navy?
I enjoyed it. At first I enjoyed it because I was learning new things all the time. But as soon as I'd done my training, I was sent to a ship and my job was to repair the radar. And I just got bored with that. And so I started modifying the radar to do other things, which they didn't want it to do, sort of space invader games and things. And I had a very good division officer who, instead of punishing me, said, "You better go away and do something yourself and occupy yourself somewhere else whilst you're supposed to be on watch." And that's when I started painting. That I just felt I couldn't continue in science because I didn't have the amenities or the equipment or anything. Whereas I could, just for the price of a pencil and paper, start drawing. It was sort of the most economical thing I could think of doing.
Had you at that time planned to make the Navy a career?
I thought I did, yeah. So, well, as a child, I'd done a lot of sailing, and the romantic side of me sort of went down to the sea in ships. But when I got there, these great grey steel things weren't quite what I expected.
No. Well, your illustrations are remarkable, but you must have had some training in painting and art when you got out of the Navy, is that correct?
No. Not at all. When I came out, I started to be a painter, but obviously I couldn't earn a living at it. And for about 10 years, I think, I worked in factories. I started off in factories doing quite a good job, repairing flight computers for aeroplanes, but that took too much thinking. I wanted to paint 6 hours every evening, and I couldn't do it. So I got progressively worse jobs until I was almost a sweeper, and then I could paint for 6 hours every night. And then suddenly my work started to be wanted, and I had exhibitions in London, and my work was never just straightforward flat paintings. The paintings were shaped, or I painted on spheres, which were then suspended inside copper spheres which had golden animals all over the outside, and other paintings that had sections of the painting which moved and changed when the weather changed. They had barometric instruments inside, and that sort of thing. And one piece that I had made, which was a box, just a wooden box, but inside it there were paintings and little pieces of sculpture, all sorts of things. But one of the pieces in there was erotic, and I thought, if you could just open the box, then you had every right to be offended by it. But if there was some tricky device on the box that took you a long time to open it, 2 hours, 2 days, 2 years, and then you was offended, that's not my fault, that's your fault. And it was that piece of work that a publisher in England saw and came to me and said, would you illustrate a book? And he said, would you illustrate a children's book? And I thought, no, it's a big step down. I've come all this way to be a painter, and now he wants me to be an illustrator. So I said, no, I couldn't see how I could do it. And It was only when he left the house that he said to me, "It's a pity, because I think you can do something that no one's ever done before with books." And I suppose it was that phrase that went round and round, and the Masquerade came out of that.
That was Masquerade?
That was the first
book. Did you also write Masquerade?
Everything. I thought, if I'm going to do a book, it's going to take me a long time to do it. It in fact took me 3.5 years. And I'm going to do all that work and all those paintings, and people normally, or had done, spent lots and lots of money on my paintings, so it seemed sort of the right way to do things. If you're going to spend 3 months on a piece of work, someone's going to spend a lot of money on it, it's okay. But if you're going to spend 3.5 years doing a book, and people spend just a few pence on it, somehow you've got to impress them to keep looking at it. So I thought I must have some way in which once they open that book, they look, and they look again, and they look again, to really get them involved. And the puzzle was really a device to do that, to make them really look at the pictures. But having thought, well, what they're going to do once they've looked and once they've found, then they've got to have something. I was like, let's have a prize. And the romantic part of me said that it must be not sort of like a cornflakes prize, you know, transistor radio or something like that. It must really be a real wonderful bit of treasure, real gold in the real earth, cold weather. And that's why that book took off so well, I think, that it captured people's imaginations. Whereas when I wrote that book and the piece of gold was buried in the ground and millions of people bought the book, I didn't really ask anybody to write to me. I said, go and dig it up. Or to foreign people, if you think you know where it is, just send me a slip of paper of where the hair is and I'll send you an airline ticket and you can come and dig it up. But 30,000 people wrote to me, and they didn't just write letters, they wrote 9-foot poems. They made cakes and they put messages inside the cake. They made pullovers. What do you call them in America?
Cardigans,
you know, jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
They, little old ladies in the sort of out west, wrote musicals about the book and sung it and played it on tape on an old piano. Wonderful things were sent to me. And it occurred to me that if I were a university and I wanted to do a study about how people think, how people's imaginations work, I couldn't set up a program. No one would give me a budget to be able to investigate 30,000 people's minds. And a lot of those people worked for 2 years, a long, long time, great big folders of stuff. And in a way, it was that made me want to do this new book. I knew that when the first book was successful, there'd be lots of other books coming out with things buried and fantastically valuable prizes. And I thought, I must do something anti that this time. It must be very, very simple, so that once people have solved the problem in the book, then they have to do something. And I just knew that people were itching, they were busting to create.
Well, Kit Williams, why don't you, in a nutshell, tell us what you have done with this new book. What is the title of the book, incidentally?
Ah, that's what you have to find out. This new book took me 4.5 years to do. It's a long book to do. It was very complicated for me to do, but it is a very simple thing for people to undo. What you have to do is find the title of the book. I don't think anybody's done that before, where they publish a book with no title and then you have to find the title of the book. Having found the title of a book, you then send that title to me and you might win the prize. But when you send a title to me, you must not use the written word. You must translate it into something else. You're allowed to address it with the written word. We don't want to confuse the postman. But what I'm saying is, whatever you're good at, translate it into that. If you're good at cooking, then take the title and cook it. If you knit, knit it. If you, I don't know, work in leather, cobble it. Make a 100-foot sculpture of old car bodies. Make it in ice. Make it any way you're good at it. If you play an instrument, then compose a little piece of music and put it onto tape. Make a piece of videotape or I don't really want computer programs, but if you must, you know. What I'm saying is, whatever you're good at, if this had been an art competition, I think that art is intimidating to a lot of people, and that they would be a bit frightened of it. But I'm saying, no, whatever you're good at, you have a go, because it's not that the rules of this one are, I'm not going to choose the best. Now, I'm going to have a big exhibition of everything that's sent to me in 1 year. But it's not what I think is the best. It's what delights me the most. That is the one that's going to win the prize.
Well, are you saying that somewhere in the text, in the beautiful illustrations in this book, are hidden the title?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's very simple. Lots of people have got it right already, which is nice. People have been sending in stuff thick and fast. and it, I suppose a couple of hours, and you should be able to work it out. And you will know that you've got it right. It's a very simple little phrase. It's not something incredibly poetic or hard to visualize. It's a simple phrase, as simple as a partridge in a pear tree. No more complex than that. But once you've found it in the book, I think you will know you've got it right. Although one or two people have sent a few red herrings already.
You have had some correct answers so far, but you will decide what is the best way of describing the title.
Yeah, the most something that's imaginative and delightful. That's the one that's going to... that's the one that I will award the prize to.
What is the prize?
The prize is the one and only book that has the title written on it, and that's written on in gold leaf. That's inside a wooden box. And on the top of the wooden box is a picture all made of little pieces of wood in marquetry. And the picture is of the inside of a beehive looking out to the countryside beyond. So that's a bit hard to visualize. But anyway, it's all made of little wonderful little pieces of wood. But sitting on the honeycomb, the wooden honeycomb on the box, is a pure gold bee, a queen bee. 24 carats she is. And in her back she has an opal that cost me £2,000. And 8 little sapphires and garnets for eyes and mother of pearl wings. The person who wins the book, the box, the golden bee, the queen bee, the lot, the whole lot.
When you did Masquerade, you were asked by a publisher to come up with Masquerade. Did you have any difficulty finding an American publisher?
No. Well, with Masquerade, mm-hmm. we did. That it took a year for an American publisher to take it up. Everybody thought it was too parochial. Americans don't want to know or won't be interested in the English countryside. But it wasn't long before we found that the American bookshops were importing the book from England without having an American publisher. So then the publisher took it up. And there was no difficulty this time around.
I would assume not. With Masquerade, weren't the majority of the books of Masquerade sold in this country?
No, I think about half.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe slightly less. It did very well in Japan. I don't know why, you know. But and this time we're publishing it, whereas last time it was published in different countries at different times. It sort of was progressive. This time it's published all over the world, all at the same time.
Tell me about how you... tell me about your illustrations. Do you do oil? Is this oil?
Yes, they are all oil paintings in their own right. So, and they are framed oil paintings that can be hung on the wall.
Now, it looks to me as though they are framed with wood, inlaid wood. Is this also painting, or is that actual wood?
That's wood. That's inlaid wood. Each picture has a marquetry frame, and the picture sort of continues over into the frame. I first started doing this years and years ago. I did a little painting of an old man watching a cricket match, and there just wasn't enough room in the painting to contain all the players of the cricket match. So I put two of the players in inlay in the frame, and it so delighted me that I continued doing that. Elton John, the pop singer, bought that one.
This, the one I think I like the best is the one looking through the the porch, the back porch, almost like a little greenhouse, and seeing a country house in the backyard. I mean, that's a beautiful, beautiful painting.
And it's, I'm having fun there with the painting. In the painting part, painted part of the picture, you see the glass and through the glass outside, but also objects are within the porch, and they go into the frame as well.
I understand that you were not happy with the quality of the printing that Schocken Books did for Masquerade. Is that correct?
Something went wrong. The first few printings were okay, and then just something went wrong later on that displeased me within the quality of the
printing. Publishers sometimes do that with subsequent printings. They'll cheapen the book in a variety of ways. They'll reduce the quality of the paper.
I don't think it did intentionally. I think it was a mistake, but I couldn't really afford that to happen again.
So you've already had a lot of people writing you with a lot of winning entries already?
Yes.
No, I shouldn't say winning entries. Entries.
But the thing is that even if you don't think you can win this thing, what we're going to do is have a big exhibition in England of all the things that are sent in. And I think what I'll do as well is make a book of the nicest ones. Because it would be nice to just put them all together in a book. To see, I mean, the people who get it wrong are going to be just as interesting as the people who get it right.
Well, I guess we should say that all of the information with regard to where they can reach you is found on the back of the book.
That's right, yes.
Well, thank you. This is certainly a unusual approach that you've had, and both Masquerade and... What is the title of the new book? I've forgotten. You're not going to let that slip, are you? But it's certainly an unusual approach, and the illustrations are absolutely gorgeous, and... thank you very much for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you.
How long will you be in the States?
Another week or so, I think, something like that.
You're going to be traveling across the country?
Yeah, maybe 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then we go to Australia and just... Can we go all the way around back to England?
You're doing some television, I hope.
Yes, I think
Because
so.
The television, hopefully, I don't know how... Your paintings are so detailed, it may be hard for the camera to pick it up and... too well, but at least the viewers will have a better idea of seeing how beautiful the book is. Thank you very much for coming and talking to us. Don't go away.
Make sure our page is all right.
Okay. Not you have to do it all over.